Tony Evers is the governor of Wisconsin, but according to a national publication, the state also has, in effect, a shadow governor, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Since Evers took office in 2019, Voss has been using his Republican majority in the Assembly and his colleagues in the Senate to block a lot of the Democratic governor's agenda. He's helped rein in Evers' power to declare public health emergencies, also blocked a number of Evers' legislative priorities, including quickly dismissing special sessions on guns, school funding, police reform, and other measures, and he blocked a bunch of Evers' budget proposals. Our next guest had lunch with Robin Voss. They talked about those issues and the state of politics here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the job Robin Voss is doing as Assembly Speaker? What are you most happy or upset about? Are you worried that he blocks Governor Evers' agenda? Or are you glad that he's there to block Governor Evers' agenda? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Dan Vock is a freelance public policy reporter. His piece on Robin Voss appeared in Politico. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Well, we may not realize this much in Wisconsin. You write that Robin Voss is kind of unique in state legislatures around the country with the amount of power he has in effect. Why is that?
Well, I think that there are lots of places where Republican-led legislatures are clashing with Democratic governors. I think what makes Wisconsin unique is just sort of the depth of the division. And even in places like Michigan, there have been occasions where the legislature and the governor reach common ground. You don't see a lot of common ground between Tony Evers and Robin Voss.
And you talk to Tony Evers and Robin Voss, and it seems like they don't even feel that sad that they don't talk to each other. And I'm not exaggerating. They literally basically don't talk to each other. Is that about right?
That's about right. I think Robin Voss would like to talk to the governor more. I think that the governor thinks that that probably wouldn't be a good use of his time.
Look back. I gave kind of a Cliff's Notes version. How Robin Voss has tried to block Governor Evers' agenda. Can you flesh it out a little more for us? What kind of things have come and gone?
Well, these are the things that any one particular move wouldn't be all that sort of noteworthy. But if you look over several years, there's a clear pattern. So as you know, Robin Voss and his colleagues in the legislature reined in the power of not just the governor, but other constitutional officers after Democrats had won those positions in the 2018 elections. That really sort of got things off the relationship started pretty tensely. But there's been other things where, you know, the governor will present a budget and the legislature will immediately decide that they don't care what the governor said in his budget and they'll write their own. The governor will call special sessions. You saw that last year, especially when the legislature hadn't been meeting very often in the middle of COVID and the governor wanted to talk about, you know, different preparations and precautions that they could do, the responses to the unrest in Kenosha, that kind of deal. And the legislature is kind of just comes in and leaves within 40 seconds. So, you know, all these things, there's also sort of things that are more in the weeds about administrative process and that kind of deal. But basically, wherever the legislature has had power, they've asserted it to curb the power of the executive.
In talking to Robin Voss, what did he say about how he saw his role as a legislative leader during a time of divided government?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that's noteworthy is Robin Voss is also the president of the National Conference of State Legislatures. And I mention that because there is, at least when he talks about it, he talks about the role of the legislature being responsive to people, being, you know, sort of out in the, you know, closer to the people. You sort of get that that rhetoric from him. So I think he sees, you know, a little bit of, I think there's clearly a political dynamic to it. I don't want to be naive about that. But, you know, as far as his saying that even if Governor Walker had been reelected, he still wanted to assert more power in the legislature. He mentioned a couple of things that he said he had learned in his relationship with Governor Walker that he didn't want to repeat with a new governor. just sort of, you know, not ceding ground to the executive. So I think there is an institutional element to it, but I think, you know, at the end of the day, most of it comes down to political disagreements.
We're looking at Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, his role in the legislature, and blocking a lot of significant moves made by Governor Evers. Dan Vock is our guest, freelance public policy reporter. He wrote about Robin Voss for Politico. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your opinion on Assembly Speaker Voss and the role he's played under divided government? Are you happy with his efforts to hit the brakes on the Evers administration, or do you think his actions are hurting the state? Do you want to see more deference to what the governor's trying to do to respond to things like COVID? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. A lengthy piece in Politico last week described Voss as, in effect, a shadow governor. Dan Vock is the author of that piece. He wrote that article about Voss in Politico. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Brad is with us in Lake Mills. Brad, hi.
Hi there. I see Voss and other Republicans, especially since 2010, undermining representative government by the people. What they're doing is they're puppets serving the consolidated money. Whether it's the U.S. Chamber, the WMC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, they're serving the money of these very powerful organized entities and billionaires. And that's not how representative government is supposed to work.
Brad, thanks for the call. Brad referred to WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Dan, what did Robin Voss say to you about his vision of who he represents?
Well, again, I think that he talks about being, you know, his members being close to the district, the Republican Party being more in tune with the concerns of everyday Wisconsinites. I think that there's, you know, that's his narrative. There's a huge counter narrative from Democrats about, you know, just how representative the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate are. Particularly with the district map that was challenged as one of the country's, you know, biggest gerrymandered maps, according to some political science analyses that went up to the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court let it go, so, you know, there's not a definitive measure there. But I think there's, Voss will say that they're more responsive to everyday people. The Democrats will say that they are insulated from everyday people because of the way that the maps are drawn.
Thanks for that call. Go to Tom now in Green Bay. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess, you know, I see both Robin Voss and the governor, and actually the entire state legislature, as being juvenile. You know, something happens, they always point their finger at the other person, at the other party, and saying it's their fault. You know, Robin Voss not wanting to talk and gavel in and out of special sessions instead of having debates that the people can count on and can listen to and make decisions, and the governor not wanting to talk to him. I mean, that is so juvenile. I had teenage boys that had more maturity, showed more maturity than they are.
Tom, thanks for the call. Are we uniquely dysfunctional in this way, Dan, since you're watching Wisconsin from the outside here?
Well, I will say that the tensions between the governor and the Speaker Voss are certainly exceptional. I mean, it's something that I noticed. I watch pretty much every state government. But it's also something that Robin Voss noted in our interview. He says that, you know, in other states, even with the same sort of political dynamic on paper, there's just been more of an willing to engage or negotiate. And it does seem that both sides are pretty dug in and not really willing to, you know, barter and make some sort of middle ground.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Jimmy in Valley Junction now. Jimmy, hi.
Good afternoon. A couple things. That Voss had it his way 8 years when Scotty was in, and so they could do anything they wanted because they had majorities in the both houses of legislature plus the governor's mansion. So now he's bitter because he can't do everything he wants. One thing that really hurts me is this bogus $680,000, and that's just probably a start of this supposed election audit. The election was last November, and here we're still goofing with it. And the way he kisses up to Trump, it just makes me gag.
Jimmy, thanks a lot for the call. Dan, there's been some tension for Speaker Voss from a couple different angles on that investigation. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And this is interesting because when I talked to him, this was all sort of starting off. He was still being criticized by former President Trump. Since then, obviously, he's gone to visit President Trump and expanded the investigations. I do think that as much as the tension, he has tensions with the Democrats, he also has tensions within the Republican Party, whereas I think he seems to be more of an establishment where he kind of wants to take the lessons of the last election and move forward. He noted that President Trump did not win in some of the places that either congressional or assembly candidates did who were Republicans. So he wants to take those lessons. On the other hand, he has a very animated conservative base that wants to follow the sort of instructions or the inclinations of President Trump to, relitigate 2020. And so that's what I see playing out. But obviously, I'm not sure how far that goes and how that ends up.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The biggest concern I have as a conservative is working government. And whether we like it or not, the fact remains that the gerrymandering that has been going on has led to extremism for both parties. And it seems that, like you see right now, you have a governor who's of one party and a legislature of the other party, and they're not able to get things done. We need to stop the gerrymandering and bringing back compromise-oriented professional politicians. That's what we need, is people who want to get things done and know how to get things done rather than just run an extremist campaign.
Charlie, thanks for the call. And that's one of the next big issues facing the governor and lawmakers, Dan, drawing those new maps, gerrymandered or otherwise. What did you hear from parties involved there?
Well, obviously, having the governor in as a Democrat will prevent the Republicans from passing a map through the normal legislative process, at least one that heavily favors Republicans. So it's most likely to end up in court. I think that there's already a lawsuit or two going on right now. And, prior to last decade, I think Wisconsin's had a lot of maps that were chosen by or drawn by the court. So I think that you're likely to end up there. So the forum will move from the legislature to the courthouse.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Dan, an interesting point you make in your piece. Robin Voss's counterpart in the Senate is now in Congress, but Robin Voss doesn't seem to want to move on. This is not a stepping stone for him, he told you.
Yeah, and he told me that without me asking him, and it was one on my list, but he came right out there and said, this is going to be the last political office that I have. And he says that does shape his approach. He's not out there to try to burnish a resume for a statewide run, which I do think that if he has a little bit of notoriety, that's not going to worry him as much as if he was, planning on running for governor or the Senate or something like that. So I think he is focused on, sort of consolidating his power in the assembly. He's the longest serving speaker in Wisconsin history. So I do think that does sort of, give him a different perspective than somebody who's looking to move on.
Dan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Rob.
That's reporter Dan Vach. We talked to him about his recent piece in Politico on Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and how he's been leading the Republican charge to block Governor Evers' agenda. Pandemic-related price increases have been hitting people's budgets. That includes people living on Social Security. The Federal Consumer Price Index shows price increases have slowed down a bit in recent months, but they're still high, rising a big 5.3% in August compared to that same month last year. All that means that Social Security recipients could be in store for the biggest cost of living adjustments in nearly four decades. Lisa Lampkins is with us to talk about all of it. She's the Advocacy Director for AARP Wisconsin. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really happy to be here this afternoon.
Let's go back in time a little bit to start. Lisa, can you talk about what kind of financial position people living on fixed incomes were in before the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because people often have a vision of retirement being these great golden years, right? You've got a life of leisure with travel and shopping. You don't have to go to work. But even before the pandemic, for a lot of folks, that really just wasn't the reality. Social Security is an awesome bedrock of retirement security, but it's still pretty modest. In Wisconsin, our average Social Security check is a little over $1,500 a month, which is a little bit more than $18,000 a year, right? So that is not a ton. We also know in Wisconsin that about a third of the folks getting Social Security checks don't have any other forms of income. So you can imagine when you have an income that's pretty modest, those budgets have to be pretty modest as well. So we get a fair number of requests for information on cutting costs, on creating a budget in retirement. People love our edition of, you know, how to save money in our AARP magazine. So, you know, even before the pandemic, a lot of folks in retirement were struggling, right? Prices go up, but your income remains relatively flat. And people were already looking for ways to stretch those dollars.
And now we've got some pandemic-related inflation. Some prices are bouncing back. Shortages of some products are causing price increases. What do we know about how that kind of pandemic-related inflation is impacting people who have, as you just mentioned, that fixed income that's already kind of stretched?
Yeah, you know, I think we're all feeling the pinch of these higher prices, right? But it does take a significant toll on retirees. I mean, I know every time I go to the grocery store lately, I'm surprised at how much more expensive things are. Gas, for example, it's like a dollar more than it was a year ago. Remember when it dipped below $2 in the middle of the pandemic? That was great. But now it's not so great. And for people who are retired, they're really getting slammed from this inflation. Not only are they paying for these things that the rest of us are paying for with groceries, gas, those kinds of prices going up, but they also tend to spend a lot of money on things that younger people don't spend money on that are also being impacted. One thing where retirees are concerned is the cost of healthcare. That's a significant expense. And in fact, about 20% of their income goes to out-of-pocket costs. We've also seen brand name drug prices that have gone up twice as much as inflation. So if we think inflation's bad, think how much the cost of prescription drugs are. And this happened even during the pandemic, even for medications that have been on the market for a long time. And it's this double whammy, really, that is hurting seniors, and especially those who are struggling right now.
Now we have this cost of living adjustment for Social Security. There's a thought that in number terms, that could be kind of big, the biggest maybe in nearly four decades. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation around the announcement. Usually the Social Security Administration makes their announcement in October about what the next year's cost of living adjustment is going to be. And you're right, lots of people are saying it could be the highest in decades. I've seen a lot of estimates that put it somewhere around 5.5 to 6.2%. The chief actuary for Social Security does estimate it's going to be close to 6%. Well, that's huge compared to what we had for 2021. That was 1.3%. At 1.3%, people got about a $20 a month increase. A 6% increase would be around $90 a month. So, you know, people are like, hey, cool, I'll have an extra, you know, $90 a month, which is really good. Unfortunately, while the COLA is amazing, you know, it maintains your buying power. It doesn't necessarily help you get ahead because it's there because the prices of everything is going up.
Talking to Lisa Lampkins from AARP Wisconsin about inflation, the impact it has on people with fixed incomes, people who rely mainly or wholly on, for example, their Social Security payments. Those healthcare costs, I mean, those have been rising, I think, pretty consistently for a long time now, and the cost of drugs that you mentioned as well. Are there policy solutions you're aiming for there?
Yeah, actually, there are a lot of things, and Congress is literally like this week, next week, looking at a couple of things that could make a huge impact. I think one of the number one things that has huge broad support across the board is allowing Medicare the ability to negotiate for lower drug prices. This is something that could actually save billions of dollars across the country, would help every single person who is on Medicare, and could actually free up money to do some things like improve Medicare. For example, cover the costs of things like vision care or hearing or dental care. And those are all things that seniors have very little coverage for and have to pay out of pocket. And so we're actually also supportive of an out-of-pocket cap on costs for those people who use the Medicare drug program. Congress has a lot of really good policy options that they're talking about right now, and many of those things would be literally a game changer for older people at this point.
Some groups have floated the idea of a new stimulus check targeted specifically at seniors and maybe specifically those living on fixed income. Is that something you are looking for, hopeful for?
You know, at this point, there aren't any real legislative proposals out there yet. Congress has their hands so full with some of the budget work that they're doing. So I'm not sure that they will get around to another stimulus check. But I will say AARP fought super hard in the first go around to make sure that seniors and those people who were getting Social Security got those stimulus checks. In fact, we really pushed the IRS to make sure, you know, people didn't have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops and file other things, and that Social Security beneficiaries got those payments automatically. It is a terrific way to help folks in this country who need the extra assistance. And certainly if there were legislative proposals around that, you know, AARP has supported them all along. Haven't seen anything yet, but that doesn't mean maybe once Congress finishes up their incredibly big to-do list, there wouldn't be something out there.
You mentioned that ideally people don't just have to rely on Social Security income in retirement. Do you have thoughts on policies that might help people save for retirement so they're not on that extremely limited fixed income come retirement time?
Yeah, you know, actually at the state level, AARP has been pushing for a long time for something that's called a state-facilitated retirement savings program. We call it Work and Save for short, because state facilitated retirement savings program is a huge mouthful, and it really just doesn't roll off the tongue. And what it really is we've got so many people in Wisconsin who don't have a way to save at work. Their employer doesn't offer a 401k. You know, folks who work for small businesses, folks who are gig workers who work for themselves, farmers, I mean, you know, different independent contractors. A lot of people don't have any way to save at work. And so this is a program that makes it super easy at no cost to small businesses to kind of all merge together and have a program that's facilitated by the state. It doesn't use any taxpayer funds, doesn't cost the businesses anything. People save their own money in their own accounts. This is something that several other states have passed. It's really beginning to close that retirement savings gap that we see. And it is something that could go a long way. I know we'll be pushing for it in the fall legislative session here in Wisconsin. And I will say there's a federal proposal to do something very similar as well. So there's a big recognition that Social Security is not enough, and helping people save their own money so they can be independent you know, is just a win-win-win. It really helps everybody.
Lisa, you mentioned resources that AARP has for people to help stretch their retirement dollars, especially during a time of some inflation. What kind of resources do you have? Where can people find those?
Yeah, we have we have terrific stuff. Most of it is primarily on the web. So if people go to aarp.org/retirement or even aarp.org/social security, there is a whole bunch of different resources. You can calculate what your Social Security benefits are. There's information on work and jobs if you want to keep working. There's information on budgeting. There's information on, money saving tips. I will say the website can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes because AARP has our fingers in a lot of pies. But if you stick with it, there's some terrific resources at that AARP.org. And you can then kind of search for anything that you want.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Lisa, what are you watching for next on this inflation and cost of living story?
Yeah, you know, I think the important thing is to make sure that we don't see seniors continue to slip farther behind. We have had an increase in elder poverty across the country and within Wisconsin as well. And I think that's something that nobody wants to see. You know, these are folks who have earned that Social Security benefit. They've worked all their lives. They've contributed to Social Security. And so making sure that people can live independently and with dignity as they age is really going to continue to be key.
Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Lisa Lampkins, Advocacy Director for AARP Wisconsin. She was with us today to talk about how pandemic-related price increases are having an impact on people living on fixed incomes.